All right, yeah. And Metallica always coming into the intro for Discussions of Truth Wednesdays. This is a special edition, 6 o'clock hour. I'm Ian Hamilton Trottier, and 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard. I'm always here delivering you a discussion of truth, and it becomes so much more pertinent and important, it seems, with each passing day. I started this program 4 years ago. Formerly on Wynwood Radio. You can now listen to it live at Wynwood One, in addition to other streams, domain streams. That's including my website, iantrottier.com. Look for Freedom Reserve, No More Lies. That is a book that was written and been in the works to be published now for a few years. Trine Day, I believe, available starting tomorrow. And some locations, and as late as July, depending on where you're at, Barnes & Noble, Amazon Chapters, and other sources. 365 pages. Again, no more Freedom Reserve, No More Lies. We just finished with Brigadier General. That's one-star general, Dr. Robert S. Spalding, who had some very interesting things to say in regards to his recent book. Stealth War, how the, now I'm going to paraphrase this here, how the American elite slept while China became a superpower. Again, he is also fluent in Chinese. We exchanged one phrase in Chinese, and that would be ni hao. I don't know many others, but I do know a couple others. Happy to speak English. We will be hosting in a couple minutes here, Chris Peranto. The question here is 2020 and it remains, could the death of U.S. Ambassador to Libya, J. Christopher Stevens, could that have been avoided? Peranto was on the front line, U.S. Army Ranger. He and other team members' story is the subject of Michael Bay's film 13 Hours, if you haven't seen that. Why did Barack Obama then say any questioning of the official narrative that Stevens' death is a wild conspiracy? We're going to have it here for the second time joining the program. Chris Peranto from the word of somebody who was on the front line. Nothing against Barack Obama, but he certainly was not. And we'll see if Chris Peranto says that was a wild conspiracy. He's a native of Nebraska, author of 2 books. He's a former CIA private security contractor and regarding Benghazi, Libya, CIA annex during that 2012 embassy attack. We'll also hopefully get some words from him on this coronavirus next week. I'll be hosting Avi Jurish. He's a former member of the Council of Foreign Affairs. He's the author of a current book that's very important and pertinent to our time in regards to innovation. And the second hour will be hosting a reporter, the American correspondent to Reporters Without Borders. I believe that is a Paris-based free press website. When you go to my website, which I urge you to do, click on the Articles tab, and then there you will find a number of free PDF downloads for your education, for your interest. And I start out with, I'd say, probably 15 books that are available, again, online, free, by former Stanford Hoover Fellow Anthony Sutton. A couple of the titles are The Two Faces of George Bush. Again, I don't take sides politically. Just look at the facts here. National Suicide, Military Aid to the Soviet Union. Could the U.S. military also be funding China? We just heard from Dr. Spalding, Brigadier General, that yes, America purposely built up China. And now is it kicking us in the butt? in so many ways, isn't it? How the Order Controls Education is another title from Dr. Sutton. You can hear his 1972 testimony given in Miami Beach by the to the Republican Subcommittee. Number 7, Western Technology and Soviet Economic Development, another title. Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, another title. And perhaps three of the most interesting titles: Federal Reserve Conspiracy. And this is coming from a Stanford Hoover Fellow. Yes, the title of the book is Federal Reserve Conspiracy. If you ever hear that word conspiracy, know that it is a term derived from the CIA after the JFK assassination. Okay, so look for the facts, folks. Look for the facts. Dig them up. America's Secret Establishment, and the other title of one of his books is called The Best Enemy Money Can Buy. Have we shot ourselves in the foot here as Americans? Look, we sit back as average everyday Americans, and we allow our corporations to manufacture these clothing, the goods in China at a ridiculously low rate. We allow that. We buy the products. I say we because I'm part of it. Our hats, you name it. Pharmaceutical products manufactured in China. We allow this to happen. Is that a good way of making peace? Yes, but or is there a flip side to it? Dr. Spaulding certainly suggests that yes, there is. Other links to interest you: the William Charter, the City of London Corporation. Yes, it's a sovereign entity. The Queen has to ask permission to enter. This is public knowledge. You will find Nundera call it conspiracy, another Stanford alum, Gary Allen. And by the way, Dr. Sutton is not an alumni of Stanford. He just taught there. Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Help. Some really great titles for you to look at. And I know we've got Chris standing by, so we will bring him in. Again, this is Discussion to Truth. I come here at you Wednesdays at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard. The past couple weeks, I've actually had 3-4 hours. Because of the coronavirus, I've had various guests joining me. Today it's a doubleheader. Okay, so bringing up Chris here momentarily. He was, of course, ill prepared and did not have the number at hand, but I have it. Here. I'm going to copy that. We're going to go right in here and put this in here. Thanks for bearing with me. Again, go to iantracier.com. Okay, connecting with Chris Pirano, former U.S. Army Ranger.
Chris
Pirano, this is Ian Tracier. You're on Discussion to Truth.
Hey, Ian, what's happening again, man?
Great to reconnect with you. It's been a little more than 6 months, but very happy to have you reconnect. Lots changed in the world since we last spoke.
Yeah, some of it is warranted, some of it's not. but yeah, it has. Things are good. But it's always a blessing. You can always find a silver lining on everything. But you're right. Things have changed in the last 6 months.
Right. So, of course, for listeners out there, we're very fortunate to have Chris Pirano, former U.S. Army Ranger, who was on the front line in Libya, dealing with the Benghazi situation, the CIA annex. We're going to get into that in a little bit, because that's always important for listeners to get your take, especially when you have the U.S. Commander-in-Chief saying any alternatives to the official narrative are, quote, wild conspiracies. That's ridiculous, because we have somebody that was right there on the front line saying this Stephen's life could have been saved. We heard that from you last night. We'll get into that a little bit. Chris, let's get into Corona. We just ended with Brigadier General Robert Spaulding. Are you familiar with Dr. Spaulding? U.S. Air Force.
I know who the man is. Yeah, but as far as if he said anything today, I've been actually in a firearms class all day, so I don't know what the news is of the day today. But yes, I'm familiar with General Spaulding.
Okay, yeah, he didn't really have any kind of cutting news to deliver, but he gave his side of how he sees really global military positioning happening. And was something that was interesting, Chris, is that he actually said on the program that the United States purposefully, that was his word, purposefully, financially built up China. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, when you're limiting the our own resources, our own just by us urbanization, just by build. I mean, I live in Nebraska, and I can see that every day where you see farm fields being tore up, and I mean, it is that simple in my opinion. Farm fields being torn up, and then you see houses going up, or you see apartment buildings going up, and then we depend on other countries to support us. And China has been. Everything you're wearing today, flip it over, see where it's made. It's made in China. Even our own produce and things. We don't supply the world to anything anymore as we used to, except for movies. I think that's probably what we're known for. So we've put ourselves in that position purposefully. I don't know if purposefully. I think we saw money, or we saw cheaper ways of doing business.
Right.
And I think we just went down that road, and then we got so far down that rabbit hole that we haven't been able to get out of it, or we're not willing to get out of it because the labor is so damn cheap. So to say purposefully, I don't necessarily agree with that. I could be wrong. But to say that it has happened and we have a dependence and reliance on China for our own livelihood, oh, definitely. That's just in our everyday needs. And that, again, it goes back to, gosh dang it, let's start bringing stuff back and doing businesses and building up our country again and providing for ourselves instead of relying on other countries to give us stuff that we can do here quite well. And even though the labor is going to be a little bit more expensive, because that's just how our country is. Labor is more expensive than us farming it out to other countries. But I think we're finding out now that it may have been a good idea to keep a lot of the stuff that we used to do, a lot of the work that we used to do in the United States, to keep it home. A lot of the manufacturing here, the farming it out in other countries, we're kind of paying the price for it right now.
Yeah, hey, Chris, what's your opinion? What is the deep state in your opinion?
Oh, it's just politicians. Whether that, in my opinion, again, my opinion, but I've also seen it and experienced that in my experience in Benghazi and coming home and getting slammed by both Republicans and Democrats for either telling the truth, not telling the truth. Oh, wait, this wasn't the right story. This is the right story. You know, from Mike Rogers not believing us, who is a Republican, to, of course, you know, the committee where you've got Adam Schiff, who doesn't believe us, and he's a Democrat. Both sides. So I believe it's just a congruence of both parties. You have people coming in, whether you're Republican or Democrat, that believe the same thing. They go out and they preach, we're fighting each other, but behind closed doors, they're not. And they're trying, in essence, to control and remain in control of the United States, and even though it may sacrifice our constitutional rights, and it sacrifices, we have to sacrifice a lot of things. As far as the military goes, if the narrative doesn't fit, Benghazi is an example, if the narrative doesn't fit, and it may affect an election, it may affect the deep state because of money that's there, because of interests that are there, that they're backing, then they're going to go against you, whether it's correct or not. If it affects them and they're going to lose control, then they're going to go against you. And Benghazi is a perfect example of that. I really, because you did have Republicans that were backing the overthrow of Omar Gaddafi, and also backing the movement of weapon systems into Syria with Omar Gaddafi's missiles, and backing that overthrow as well as Democrats did, including our former president. So when Benghazi happened and we came home and said, hey, wait a second, what's going on here? I think we even got attacked by the own weapons we were giving to the Ansar Sharia, which really turned into being ISIS. We got slammed on both sides. Now, we did get some people that came to our aid. I do. Trey Gowdy did. Jason Chaffetz did. Those are the only two I can say with any sort of assurance that, yes, they did. I believe they did come to our aid as best that they could. But in the end, you had both Republicans and Democrats that were responsible for what took place there in Libya, that led to the death of Ambassador Stevens, led to us being left behind, and we were called liars by both sides within their particular parties. But then we were also, of course, you had some conservatives that did try to help us out. Like I said, I just gave their names, which were Trey Gowdy and Jason Chaffetz. But it's not a shock that they aren't part of the deep state, because they're not in politics anymore either. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Yeah, but the deep state exists. Is this a real, or is it just kind of? Yeah, what?
I believe it does. No, I honestly do. Just from what it happened to us, I do believe that there is politicians. There are politicians out there that are playing. They're just playing both sides of the aisle, and they'll do what they have to do. They're going to say what they have to say to win a vote. But in the end, it's their interest. It's not that they're putting politics before patriotism is what they're doing. And that's just from my personal experience. Yeah. If I hadn't experienced that in Libya, I would tell you, I don't know.
Right.
I really don't think so. I think that's all conspiracy. That is always, if you're ever going to get something for me in, it's because I've experienced it, not because I saw it on the news, not because my cousin's aunt's uncle told me that this happened to their friend's dog. It doesn't work like that. If I've actually experienced it, not just being in Benghazi, but then coming back and going through the Benghazi first hearing with Mike Rogers, then going through the Benghazi Select Committee hearing, then meeting with politicians telling them what happened, then going on the news cycle, whether it's Fox, CNN, and an astute person with common sense will still pay attention to what's going on throughout all this and try to figure out who is really on my side here, or am I being manipulated for a political gain of some candidate? And that's what I did. But that's what any good guy from the special operations community will do, because that's what we're trained to do, whether you're Special Forces, SEAL, Ranger, Delta. Be aware of your surroundings and, you know, have a little bit of a common sense when you're dealing with people, and make sure that you're not being taken advantage of or being used as a pawn for somebody's political gain. And I had to learn that the hard way. I've learned that, geez, what was it, 2013, when I finally stopped deploying and the book was written and people started to find out what was going on in Benghazi. And then now it's 2020. That's 7 years of me being in the middle of a lot of stuff and you're right, like so the president, former President Obama saying it's conspiracy, that hurts, and that also angers me. And that's why I still pay attention to what's going on around me. I still try to pay attention to politics in the sense that I want to know what's going on, but I don't let it immerse my life like I used to either, because that just made me an angry person.
So let's look at, we're grateful that obviously you survived, and obviously you had guys go down and didn't return home with you.
And
Stevens obviously is one, but let's look at Stevens. He's an ambassador. He's got a little bit of power in a sense.
Yeah.
Was his death more valuable to the United States than his life? And I know I'm painting a broad picture because now you're, yeah.
No, I get what you're saying. Believe me, you're not. If you can say that they died, you can say they were killed by terrorists. That's the truth, brother. You're not gonna. You know me. I'm not a PC guy. I'm not politically correct, and that's the God honest truth. And you're not gonna offend me, because that's what happened. They were killed. They were killed by terrorists. They didn't come home. Tyrone, my teammate, Roan, Glenn Doherty, Bub, both were killed by mortars. I saw them hit. I didn't just hear their death. I was shooting over their head. When they were killed, I saw the explosion. I saw them being blown up through the flash of light. That experience. So it does come back to ambassadors and then ambassadors. Your question. We can talk more about that in a second. I don't want to get off track. But with Ambassador Stevens, I still would really, and I still don't know what he knew or what he may have been wanting to tell the world of what was going on there. That's still up in the air. That's still only Ambassador Stevens really will know why that death took place, why he was left behind, which was completely surprising to me, because I had worked for the State Department before I was with the CIA. I had protected ambassadors of his level, and there are different levels of ambassadorship. There are people that donate money, and you're a dilettante appointee because you donated my campaign, and I'm going to make you the ambassador to an island off Switzerland. There you go. That's yours. But then you have guys like Ambassador Stevens, like Chris Stevens, who was a Foreign Service officer that started at the lower levels, that did believe – he did believe in the hearts and minds. He did believe in that the world could be a better place, and the U.S. is the focal point of making the world a better place. And he worked his way up to being the ambassador to Libya, which – for all intents and purposes, if you want to make a comparison for everybody out there that needs to know these levels, he is a three-star general. That's the ranking that Ambassador Stevens has. He is the head guy. He is high-level ambassador in Libya. And when I have protected ambassadors of that level, I was in charge of the same level of ambassadorship for the ambassador to Iraq, Zalmay Khalilzad at the time. I ran his security detail. This is the comparison. I had 50 Blackwater operators. All these guys are former Special Forces, SEALs, Rangers. Plus, I had a company, an infantry company of military, Minnesota of National Guard infantry company, them attached. Plus, I had two small helicopters. Plus, I had a full canine team. This is for Ambassador Zalmay Khalilzad. Ambassador Stevens warranted that same type of security at his level. He was that high value of a target, and he had nobody. So to say that, was his life more important or his death more important? I think his life is always more important. Definitely his life's more important. The man did not deserve to die, not the way he did. But why was he killed? And was it nefarious from the U.S. government? Did they want him killed? I don't know. Can I honestly say with certainty that to tell you no, he wasn't? No, I can't. And that's the worst. That's bad enough. I should unequivocally be able to say, no, he was just a value trade. He was a wrong place, wrong time. No, but that's not the truth.
Right.
So I'm still in, you know, and I'm trying to, I'm still paying attention. I'm trying to figure that out. I still want to know myself. The more information that comes out, though, the more emails that the State Department was withholding on Hillary Clinton's server, the more that's coming out, though, the more of me saying no. He wasn't in the wrong place at the wrong time. He was killed for a reason, and the U.S. was responsible, partly responsible, if not all responsible for it. It continues to go that way. But for me to say, I don't know. For me to say, yes, that's exactly what happened, I don't know. But for me to say that he wasn't killed and he wasn't in the wrong place at the wrong time, to say, I don't know that either, would be wrong. And that's, again, that's bad enough. I should be able to say, yeah, the man just got attacked. It was a bad hit.
Right.
It was a bad place. But I can't say that because the proof is out there that, and for me being experienced within the security industry, knowing what it takes to protect an ambassador at that level and him not warranting that for some reason, which I have no idea, that's the only ambassador I've ever seen set up like that. That makes it bad for me. That just makes it worse, and it makes me think, again, come back to, gosh, there was a reason, and I think people within the State Department didn't want him to come home for what he may be exposing once he came home during an election year where President Obama was really in a fight at that point in time, a fight with Mitt Romney to win the re-election of the presidency.
So, Chris, you come back stateside and you go on the interview circuit. Were you when you're sitting down with these various broadcasting companies? Were you feeling like one sit down was supporting you and maybe the other one was not supporting? Did you feel a bias?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. Well, the obviously our story was going to help the help the Republicans. It was going to help the conservative side. It definitely was. It'd be an idiot to say no, it wasn't. And brother, guys like myself are not ready for things like that. And for me to come out being angry, being how I was going to tell the truth, and I wasn't going to say because I didn't know. I'll be honest with you, At that point, I didn't even care. I've been deployed for 10 years. I didn't vote. I didn't care. I didn't care who sent me over. I served under Bush. I served under Obama. I spent time overseas. I cared about the job and being on the ground.
Yeah.
So politics didn't mean a damn thing to me. But when I did come back, I did see. You can see by how many times we were on Fox in comparison to how many times we were on CNN and MSNBC combined. You know, Fox, we were probably on once when it first happened and the story broke and people, and it was about a year after because I was still working. All of us were still working for the agency. It didn't come out till the summer of 2013 is when we finally came forward. So it'd been almost a complete year. But when that happened, we were on Fox, like I said, probably Fox or Newsmax was another one. They were up and coming and they're relatively conservative. Probably at least once a week where I think I was on CNN four times. I was never on MSNBC.
Really?
We offered. I mean, yeah, we believe me, and we were with a big publishing company called Grand Central Publishing, who was our book publisher, Hachette. Three Arts was the one that was in charge of the movie. So these are big publishing and production companies. And believe me, they were putting it out. They were saying, hey, we'll put them on their shows. I did CNN four times. All those were with Jake Tapper. But no, it wasn't any comparison. It wasn't a comparison at all. Fox, it was continual. And it was our story definitely. And this is just the truth. Yeah, it definitely was going to help. A Republican candidate was going to help Republican and right-leaning people versus President Obama, his reelection, and then definitely when Hillary, because we all knew Hillary Clinton was going to run for election 4 years after Obama won his, the story was definitely going to hurt her and her credibility, which it obviously did. So yeah, to say that I didn't see that, no, of course I did. I would have to be a fool to not see that, and. At that point in time, I just wanted people to know what happened. I didn't care who it was on. I tried to get on liberal media talk shows, we did. They just didn't want to have us on. And we were more than happy to be on. Myself, Oz, and Tig were more than happy. And I can say frankly for Oz and Tig, they tell you the same thing. Yeah, they tried too, and they just didn't want us on. So what can you do now? But then you get to a point where now you're always the Benghazi guy. I'm like, oh, wait a second, guys. I don't want to be just a Benghazi guy. Come on. We did what we had to do. Hillary Clinton didn't win re-election. We got Roan and Bub remembered for the rest of their life. They're going to be immortalized, which they should be. They're heroes. We're not heroes. They are the heroes. They're the ones that sacrificed and Ambassador Stevens and Sean Smith to sacrifice their lives. People will always remember them because there's a 13-hour movie out. That's fantastic. That's great. But it gets to a point like now, 7 years later, where I'll tell Fox, you know, guys, I don't feel like, I don't want to go on. I don't want to get in that anymore. I told you the truth, what I had to do, what we had to do to get the story out there. But it's not me. It's not what I want to continue to do, which is why I don't go on Fox anymore. You'll see me very rarely on the mainstream media because I wanted my life back. You know, I wanted to come back and be Chris and be the real Tonto that used to deploy all the time, not the Tonto that you saw in the sunglass commercial, even though that was fun. Don't get me wrong. The sunglass commercial was fun doing, but the guy that was always angry and I was always hangry and spiteful and hateful, which I think I had every right to be at being left behind and being left to die after serving your country for 18 years. But there comes a point where you really do, you have to let it go. And people do know, I really do. People do feel that people, even people within the Democratic Party, they do know the truth. Now they're finding it out and they're seeing, and by me not being so damn angry all the time, I think that also shut off a lot of people that needed to hear what was going on there because of their political beliefs. They just didn't want to hear it. Well, if I'm screaming at you all the time that, you know, Democrats are dumb, Republicans are the smartest in the world, if you're a Democrat, you're not going to want to hear what's going on. And that's what I felt like I was getting into, and that's not me. Mitchell Zukov, who helped us write the book 13 Hours, he's a registered Democrat. He's one of the best people I've ever met, and he's common sense, and he listened. And obviously, it came through in 13 Hours in the book because he put his politics aside and wanted to hear us. And I kind of took a key from him. Like, I got to put my stuff aside so people can hear and remember the heroic actions, the leadership, the motivation, the sacrifice, everything that you could want to talk about human nature, overcoming adversity, you could hear about it instead of this is just a right-wing movie to bash Hillary Clinton, which, you know, that's mine and Tig's Oz's responsibility to not have that happen so people are still remembered.
Chris.
Yeah, that's your question. Definitely so.
Yeah, so we've got a bias. I think we can assume that, we can assess that. There's a bias in American media. Is that a violation? I mean, look at the free press, right? So we've got a constitution that we've inherited. We've got free press principle. You know what? There shouldn't be a political bias in media, or should there?
You're right. No, there shouldn't be. It's objective reporting, right? I mean, you could probably talk on that better than I, because this is your genre. That's your realm. You are the subject matter expert more than I am. because this is your, you are a professional in the media world. This is what you do for a living. My, on an outside looking in, I just want objectivity. I don't want subjectivity when you're giving me the news. Just tell me what happened. I'll make my own decisions. But that's also why I don't watch it anymore. I don't. I turn it off.
Yeah.
I don't watch Fox News, CNN. I don't watch MSNBC. I don't watch OEN, Newsmax. I don't. I turn it off. And that's what I was doing when I was deploying all the time. And it helped me make such better decisions when I had to make a decision, whether it was life or death or whether it was just coming home and making a decision, just a notice of what are we going to do tonight? We've let that influence our lives so bad that, it comes into our head just going out to dinner. Well, I don't want to go to that area because that's all with the left-wing guy.
Right, right.
Wait a second. That's damn good meat. That's a good barbecue. No, that's a good barbecue place there. I don't want to eat there. A perfect example, I think, would be for me personally is I have a Battle Line podcast. I do a podcast. I love it. It's so therapeutic for me. I don't have a ton of followers, but it's no big deal. I love doing it because it's therapeutic. But I have a few sponsors, and the sponsors range from I have an ammunition company to a CBD oil company that's run out of a nice farm out of Western Colorado, which is very liberal. But that's what's so great about it is that people, because my show is in the podcast, we make sure it's not right left. It's just here's what we're going to talk about. I seem to see that it brings people together and people become free thinkers again. And they have common sense again, and they don't let that filter of blue or red, depending on which party you are, filter what you're seeing in front of you. This is just what you get. And if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. But there's not that, well, I got to think this way because I'm right wing, or I got to think this way because I'm left wing. No, you don't. Just think. Just think and make a decision. And whatever decision it falls into, that's how it goes. And yeah, brother, we have definitely done that to ourselves. And I think the mainstream media sees that and capitalizes on that hatred, capitalizes on that discourse. And brother, and believe me, those guys are making hand over fist money right now. And CNN and Fox, I believe, have the same shareholders. They're both owned by Time Warner and Disney. And to them, it makes perfect sense in the world for me to them to continue to cause discourse, because all it's going to do is cause your ratings to go up, which is going to cause better sponsors and more money and more revenue. And people, ourselves, like myself, yourself, your listeners out there, we just got to pull ourselves back from it and be able. And it's hard to do. It's like those media outlets are cocaine now. You got to get off it. And the only way to do it is you got to turn it off. Turn it off. And then if you want to have information, just go for numbers. The coronavirus right now, I don't know what the news is talking about, anything. What I do is I'll look at numbers. That's all I'm going to look at. If I want information, numbers can't lie. Numbers are objective. And that's how I'm going to see, hey, how well are we doing? How not well are we doing? And then I'm going to get out and see. We're in Nebraska, so we're not on complete lockdown, which is great. So I'll get out, and I'm just going to see how people are acting and how, you can get a feel for how things are going just by stepping out your door and going and just going down the road for a little bit, going for a jog. So, yeah, brother, I completely agree, and it's been nothing but detrimental to our country. And me being a hypocrite, though, and I'm being a hypocrite. I was a large part of that from 2013 to probably 2018. I contributed a ton to that. And I don't regret it, but I'm not going to tell you that, don't be like those guys. I would never do that. Well, I did it. I was right in the middle of it. And that's why I also don't believe I can speak eloquently on it with some validity, because, I was right in the middle of it, and I was letting myself be a part of that. And then you'd be stupid not to say that you don't enjoy some of the when you're in that spotlight or being on TV every once in a while, you don't enjoy it a little bit, but the notoriety, until you finally get back home and your wife tells you to wash the dishes. you know your place. So yeah, nothing special.
Chris, I want to get into the COVID virus a little bit and get your take on it. Again, for listeners out here, you're a former U.S. Army Ranger. You're probably one of the country's best trained military assets. You are really the epitome of, you know, like you're almost like a super soldier, man.
I'm not even that at all. I just want to take a nap. That's how super I am.
Let's get just quickly. Chris, just quick. So 13 hours, and then I want to get into the coronavirus. 13 hours, Michael Bay. You were a consultant, I understand, I believe, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
I think you said that. What is 13 hours missing? What is it missing? What did Michael not put in there that he should have?
Well, you know, hindsight, I think as far as the characters were played and represented very, very well. Dominic Famusa, Max Martini. People still don't know what Jack Silva really looks like. Jack is the only one out of all of us that still is going to remain secret. But for all you out there, there's been conspiracy theorists. Jack didn't really exist. There's really no Jack Silva. It's just a character made for John Krasinski. No, Jack does exist. So that is one thing just I want people to know for sure and tell you out there. No. And he looks damn near like John Krasinski if you put him side by side. So I'm glad it's in there, but I want people, because I've seen some rumors out there that no, that was all made up, especially the naysayers that like to poo-poo the movie because it's a Michael Bay movie. I want to tell you out there, Jack is a real person. I just talked to him a couple weeks ago. We talk once a month. Greatest guy in the world. He does look like John Krasinski. Pablo Schreiber, of course, played me excellent. We're still actually friends. We talk every couple months. I'll text, and we're still friends. We still stay in contact. I would have liked to have seen, but I don't think at the time we had the information that we did now. The Benghazi Select Committee had not taken place yet. The Trey Gowdy Committee, when the movie had been finished and made and edited and was coming out. So, you know, a lot of people didn't catch, and that's because we weren't certain yet. We were still gathering information ourselves. The militia that rescued us, the Libyan Shield, the militia, sorry, the command of the Libyan Shield. We were for sure, but if the movie would have been made, you know, another year later, we would have made sure we would have pointed out that Libyan Shield was actually Omar Gaddafi's militia. So isn't that the most ironic thing in the world? We're there to overthrow Omar Gaddafi, kill him, and all. And who saves us? Omar Gaddafi.
Wow.
And also the mortars stopped. And people, you know, and mortars just usually when you're getting mortars and they're what we call fire for effect, they're hitting directly on top of where they're trying to hit. They did hit specifically on Building C. That was our most advantageous building. That was where the most people were. That's where all our weapons were. It wasn't a coincidence they hit that building. That was the building you would want to hit on our compound to really take out everything. But the mortars just stopped in the movie. The Libyans, actually Omar Gaddafi's militia, when they took off, and you see in the movie, you'll see me up on the rooftop, Pablo Schreiber, who played me in that spot on, I saw him take off. And I remember initially going, where the hell are you guys? Because I thought they were running away because I didn't hear the mortar per se right then. I heard it a split second later, and I'm like, oh, crap, that's a mortar. That's why they're taking off. I thought they ran away. They actually went and took the mortar team out for us. So that's what I would have loved to have seen in the movie. And honestly, I really think that would have had a huge effect politically on the election at that time.
Right.
Is that two times we were saved by Omar Gaddafi when they came and got us off the cop, when they came and rescued us, or they came and helped us where I did that initial jumbo, which I did when I had to ID them in that big, and I thought I was dead. I didn't know who they were. And then the disco pointed at my head and they threw the jumbo back up and they smiled at me. They came then, that was Omar Gaddafi's militia, and then the militia that took out the mortar team force that I thought was running off, that escorted Bub's team on, Bub died that night, Glenn Doherty. If people watch the movie, you'll understand the flow. That would also belong to Omar Gaddafi. And I think that would have had, first of all, I think a lot of people would have just been even more irate than they even were. But they also, questions would have come up at that time is, what really were we doing in Libya? It wasn't to overthrow Omar Gaddafi. So that's the main thing I wish we would have got in the movie. But that wasn't because Michael Bay didn't want to put it in there. We just weren't certain, and Michael didn't want to put anything. He asked us. He goes, I want everything that you are 100% sure in this movie because we don't want to leave anything out there because we're already going to get trolled to death by all the Hillary Clinton lovers. But he says, we can't do that. We got to have it so we're spot on accurate. This is 100% we can validate and prove. So, it's not nobody's fault, but just the information hadn't come out yet. Enough people hadn't spoken up from behind the scenes. And the Benghazi Select Committee, Trey Gowdy's committee, is the one that found that out. What was that, 2 years after, 3 years? 2 or 3 years after the attack. I didn't even know that until then. And so that just shows how deep that rabbit hole still, and it still goes, but how deep it went down then, but how deep it's still going down as we're finding out more and more information. But I would have loved to have seen that in there. And I do believe the election, even though Mitt Romney had a chance, even not saying I care about Mitt Romney, I'm not a Mitt Romney supporter. I'm just saying I believe it would have had effect in the election where Mitt Romney may have won. It would have given him a better chance to win, chips fell where they may. And I did well under President Obama. Even though he said things about Benghazi, I don't care for the conspiracy comments.
Right.
I definitely retorted on about, but I haven't heard him say anything, at least in public, since then. So maybe he's got the hint that just leave it alone, brother. You don't talk about the dead that way,
right,
especially when guys like myself saw the guys die. It's not a conspiracy. We planned it to have our friends die and Oz to lose his arm because it was all conspiracy to affect your elect. Come on, man. Yeah, that's just an asinine thing for him to say. And I haven't heard anything since, but yeah, I wish I would have got that in the movie. That would have been great. It would have been great to see.
So here's an interesting from a Harvard professor. And this is something I dug up. You're talking about playing both sides. You talk about corruption in politics. It goes back to the founding of the country, George Washington. Again, I for listeners, you get this on my website. There's a Harvard professor that dug this up where George Washington, owning shares of the Bank of England during the American Revolution. Let's get into COVID. I want to get your thoughts here as we wind down a few more minutes there on the COVID-19. We've got a global pandemic here, do you think it's the right thing, Chris? Do you think it's the right thing for Americans to be rallying against these lock at home orders that are being administered from the state levels? Do you think that's the right thing for Americans to be doing?
I think in some states it's warranted. I think it's state by state. I mean,
yeah.
Really, where are most of the cases in the U.S. in New York?
Right.
So would a lockdown help in New York? And I don't live in New York. Again, I try to base all my views on things I can see and experience. And I can't experience what's going on in New York. All I can see are the numbers. So to say New York, maybe it'll benefit. I don't know. If I was Governor Cuomo, thank God I'm not, even though I wouldn't want all his money because I don't want to have a personality like him. Nope. But that being said, if I was Governor Cuomo and I had that basic ground zero where they have the majority of the case in the U.S., I probably would, just to see. Okay, let's see what happens. But then you have to continue to reassess. Is it having any effect? If it's not,
sure.
No, because now you're – guess what's going to come after that if you continue to lock down? You think people are going to riot? You think people are going to do – they're going to start by the protests.
That's right.
Then it's going to get worse. Like where you see Michigan. Now, I think she jumped the gun. I think it was a bad decision. But that being said, they can always change. That's the problem with politicians.
Yeah.
They never want to admit they're wrong. They could always change that decision. And that's how you do it. You present it. You could have presented it better. We're going to try this on a trial basis and see what happens. If it has a positive effect, then I think most people with common sense would probably agree. So, you know what? You got a point there. All right, let's give it a shot. If it doesn't, then no. Because you're essentially, and I don't throw the constant, like, I'm not one of those guys that asks my constitutional right. I don't do that. I don't. But it is people's constitutional right to get out of their damn house. So to say, well, it's my executive order, I know better than you. No, you don't. But if they wanted to test it out, okay, let's get a time and then give people, because people, an individual can be very calm, can be very, has a lot of common sense. It's when you get them in packs is when you lose your mind. So present it to an individual, present it to them on their TV or whatever and say, hey, this is what we're going to try to do. Just bear with me. If it doesn't work, then we're going to go and get away from this lot there. Now in Nebraska, no, hell no. Why do we need, we have 500 cases total in the whole state. And what are the age groups that this is affecting and where is it going to? They're more from, well, yeah, it's all 70 to 80 year olds and severe prior conditions. Most of these people, 75% of these people were already hospitalized that have it. No, it's not necessary here. So I think a lot of governors, what they're doing is, yeah, they just follow each other's own.
Right.
Own, yeah, New York's doing it. Well, California's doing it. Well, we're going to do it too. And it falls again back to, I guess we just went full circle. It falls back to political lines too. It becomes a political issue. Well, let's do it. I you have to use common sense. I've lived in areas where you could catch Hep A, Hep C,
right,
anthrax. You got open sewers everywhere, and there people don't shower. And you know, you're living on the local economy. It's not like I'm living at a 5-star resort.
Right.
I've never caught anything. You know, I do believe that there's some overblown hysteria. Thank you, media, for your irresponsible reporting, and also. that there is a bunch of hysteria going on that isn't warranted. I think it created a lot of panic initially, but I do believe, and again, I think a lot of Americans are starting to see it and figure it out. Like, wait a second, all right, guys, I think we're going to be okay. We're not going to have to buy into all this damn hysteria anymore and move on. So the lockdown's got to be state by state basis, and then it can't last forever. And there's got to be an ending to it. If people know that this is the ending, this is what it's going to be, most people would be okay, you know what, I'll deal with it for 3 weeks. All right, deal. Got it.
Right,
it's not working. All right, remove it now. Get it out of here. I want to get outside and start having fun.
What about, Chris, what about the, you know, there's been this publicity around Bill Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, yeah. Microsoft, vaccines, mandatory vaccines with microchips. What's your take on that?
No, you ain't putting a microchip in me. You ain't, no way. All right, and they're probably all made in China, right? Even they're going to outsource them out to China. Oh my lord! I don't. No. Mandatory vaccines. No, they. You know, at the end of all this, in 2 years, when the CDC comes out with their numbers, I can't wait to see what the numbers are, to see if every other death that was out there, pneumonia, heart disease. If they all declined because in COVID, because what, and I don't think this is a conspiracy theory either. I do think hospitals are putting the numbers up. Well, he died of heart disease, but it looks like he may have had the virus. Let's just mark it as COVID and it goes up. But that being said, no, I don't think mandatory vaccines, no way. That is completely wrong. It's completely unethical. If this had been like the Spanish flu, we're losing millions or die. I mean, we're talking, how many died in Spanish? 500 million? Or, I mean, it was more than that. I think it was. I could see that. We need vaccines. We do. But looking at the percentages again, seeing who is passing away, and God bless you guys if you're out there listening, you have family members that are. I'm not knocking that at all. Believe me, I know death. I've seen death.
Yeah.
I understand. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying, look at the numbers. If you're seeing the age groups, and you're seeing that they did have, a lot of them did have severe pre-existing conditions, the vaccine is not going to save their lives. I'm not going to take this
right
from me now, especially when my own antibodies are fought it off. And people, for all you know, for all you guys out there that don't know viruses, especially if you don't have kids, you don't get rid of a virus. It's just, when you go with the doctor, I still use this example when I talk to people about it. When you go and bring your kid to the doctor and he says, well, he's got the flu, it looks like he's got a virus, what does he usually tell you about your son or your daughter? He goes, well, they're just going to have to get it out of their system. There's no cure for that thing. You can get a flu vaccine, but you still may get the flu. It doesn't make a difference. So to me, I do think there's some shady things going on behind the scenes there, especially if it comes from Silicon Valley there and putting microchips in there. And do I believe that it could possibly, yeah, I believe it could possibly be, but just to say that you have to get this vaccine. No, I don't. No, I'm not going to do it. And I don't get the flu vaccine. I've had enough vaccines in the Army. I've had every shot there is imaginable,
yeah.
from anthrax 1 all the way up to 10. No, I'm done getting, and I do believe that, yeah, if I, and you know, Ian, if I die of COVID, you can say on the radio show, I told you so, Tano. I told you so.
Yeah, Chris.
Until that time comes, though. Yeah, no, I'm not going to do it. No, no way.
All right, so I'm going to throw something wild at you. You probably don't know this. Maybe you do. And then I want to get your closing thoughts because we're getting pretty close here. And the closing thoughts, Chris, I really want you to concentrate on what listeners can do to reverse the bias in the media to get back some of these rights that seem to be infringed on. What's the best foot forward for America? But let me throw something out at you real quick, and you don't have to respond if you don't want to. Recently, Microsoft, okay, and I'm not pointing fingers at Microsoft, but here we're kind of following a thread here. Microsoft, who supports something called ID 2020, which is a San Francisco-based company to digitally certificate and identify individuals. This is human beings, not cows or dogs. Microsoft has filed and has now had published with the International Patent Organization a patent to cryptocurrency, running a cryptocurrency off of human beings that have been microchipped. This is a patent that's been awarded recently to Microsoft for that purpose. And then you kind of throw out, okay, well, what's happening? What's going to happen to our middle class now that it's been ground to a halt for a couple months here because of the coronavirus? Again, you don't have to comment on that if you don't want to. If you want to, go for it. But either way, yeah. You get some closing thoughts from you.
Well, yeah, and there is that. I've been on a Pat Militech show, a great MMA fighter. He has a show called The Conspiracy Theory, and he does believe that that you know this whole thing was for a reset of world currency. It was to bring everyone to their knees with their currency, and so they could establish a new world currency. And it sounds like I didn't know that. I'll be honest, and I hadn't heard that yet with Microsoft. But when you say that, that's what it reminds me of. Was this whole thing? I don't think it was fabricated. I do think there is an actual coronavirus out there. It's a flu on steroids. I do believe that. Do I think it's as bad as it was, as the media is portraying it to be? No, I don't. I don't at all. I don't know anybody personally that knows anybody personally that knows anybody personally that has it. I'm being completely honest with you. But that being said, was this to establish a new form of currency? Again, I want to tell you no way in hell. No way. I can't tell you that. And that's what's scary enough. Is it possible that may be going on? It's possible. Do I honestly in my whole heart give you a hundred? No, you got me right there because I can't say no. I can't say no. That's not going on.
Say it.
Because I should be able to tell you no, it's not happening. But I've been around enough crooked business people and crooked politicians and people that want power. And what do they get power from? It's money. And that I could, if you said it's going on and I got on your show and it would not surprise me in the least. God, I hope not. I really hope not.
Right.
Cause I'm still not getting that damn vaccine. I don't care. Guess what, Bill Gates, I'm taking all your money. I'm going to get on your compound and your money's gone. I'm taking it all. But no, I'm not Bill Gates. Relax. For all you, I don't need the Secret Service visiting my house again. I'm kidding. No security. No. But you know, that being said, too, if that happens, yeah, I don't think it's the safest way to do business. You see people with Bitcoins, sure. how they lose so much money,
right.
Get money stolen by identity thefts. No, I don't want. That's why I don't do Bitcoin. Just millions of dollars by these 15-year-olds that know how to get in there and are smarter than me with IT stuff. So, brother, I want to tell you no, but all I'm going to say is no, but maybe. Can I do that?
Yeah, you said,
it's a possibility. Mm-hmm. It's a possibility. Because Pat is a very bright individual, and you know he made good points when we talked about having a new currency. And I didn't know, and I think probably that's what it was getting into. This was 2 months ago that we had I was on his podcast. We talked about it. So now that you're talking about it, and has this been I haven't read an article. Has this been something that came out today or last couple of days, last week? Again, I apologize, guys. That's why I just try to stay as unread as possible within the news. So my life has been happening. But if that's something that's come up recently, well, you might have something. So we better pay attention to it.
I'll tell you.
If that's the case, then.
Yeah, I'll tell you my thread here, Chris. So Kevin Shipp, who's former CIA, you're not really ever former, I don't think. I don't know. I was never in the CIA. But that's where it threads from for listeners to understand. Kevin joined us about a little over a month ago. So this is information that came via indirectly, and not directly from him, but through him. So just an angle to look at. And then you couple it with the fact that Nixon took away the gold standard, so the U.S. dollar right. So some of this stuff kind of adds up, and you're like, oh, okay. Well, let me think about it a little bit more.
And that's what you're telling me. I'm talking to Pat. I know Kevin. Yeah, I know Kevin. Actually, I think I did watch that. I don't watch a lot of interviews, but I believe I did watch that interview with because you may have even sent it to me when it was going on. And yeah, I know Kevin within the circle. So yeah, he's got some. So you're right. It is a thread. It is a definite thread that we're following there. Brother, I said, I can't tell you no. I can't with certainty say no way. That's just crazy talk, because it's not. It's a possibility that we definitely need to make sure we pay attention to, because yeah, that will just destroy. It'll bring the middle class to our knees, man.
That's right. I agree. Absolutely agree. A lot of stuff going on here. Like we opened the show. Even the world globally has changed so much since we last spoke. In your view, Chris, what can Americans, listeners, what's their best foot forward? What can Americans do? Everybody can contribute in some way. I wanted your opinion on the rallies and being confined to homes and that sort of thing. But what's in your view, what's the best? Because we all want to live peacefully. We want to uphold these democratic values and this republic. We strive to keep our constitution. And again, those very basic fundamental values of free press, even freedom of religion, you know, confinements in that regard, freedom of speech. What's the best foot forward in your view, Chris? What can Americans do to strengthen their country?
I don't have a problem people getting out there. I think the Michigan rally is initially. Yeah, you have to do it. I do believe that it was a smart thing to do initially, because it puts the politicians on notice that, hey, dude, we're still watching you. You know, we're still keeping our eyes on you.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. Do it peacefully initially. You never violence is the last resort. God forbid we ever want to get into any sort of altercations on our home soil with our own people. We don't have another civil war. But also, I think people. You saw the amount of ammunition people are buying, and you know that's my genre. That's where I'm at. I work for I'm a brand ambassador for an ammunition company. I also think that puts politicians on notice too. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You want to buy ammunition? You want to buy guns? Politicians, I think, see that, and they say, now don't. But yeah, is it not shocking that we have had no mass shootings, even though the guns? That kind of stuff.
You cracking open another egg?
We need to do another show. Yeah, we're gonna go down the rabbit hole. We don't have time. We'll do another show. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But what I tell people is like, don't go crazy. You know, don't go buy all the TP. Don't go buy all the ammunition. But what that does too, you know, first of all, if you're a gun owner, you know, you got ammo. You feel good, confident about yourself. You know, but also it does. It lets politicians know that. Okay, wait a second. Do we really want to go down this route too, and make executive orders and make this state-run mandatory lockdowns? Because people in America, because we live in the greatest country in the world, no, they're going to take it for so long, and then they're going to no, to hell with you. It's just a note. It's not to say I'm going to come out and shoot you. Just putting you on notice, guys. We're watching you. We're keeping our eyes on you. Don't overstep. All right. I think it's went the right way. I think for the most part, because in Nebraska, and I feel it And I just feel that things are starting to turn around because people are finally, they're just getting tired of it. And like, the hell with it. We need to get out and work and we need to make money. And damn, if I can go to the grocery store, why can't I go to work? That don't make any sense. If I can go play golf, why can't I go to the park? Yep. that's the rascal for you. You can go play golf, but you can't go to the park. That doesn't make any sense. Okay. But that being, brother, with me personally, I just continue to live. And when I do my Facebook Lives or I try to talk people, just don't worry. Don't go down that rabbit hole. Don't go that, oh, doom and gloom. It's just going to, the world's ending. You can't get like that. And the reason being is if you do, you've given up. This is the best time to find ways to improve yourself. I've got to be home. This is the longest time Ian, I've been able to be home in years, in 3 months. I am back on my good workout schedule. I'm back to like in a really good shape that I was prior to going out. I've got to be with my family. You know, when's the last time I got to play a board game with my family? So really, to me, again, this has been a blessing to improve ourselves, whether it's just family, and I say family and our faith. Is huge. Some of you listeners out there don't care if you're Christian or not. A good Christian is not going to care. I'm just going to say you got to have faith in something. And to me, this has allowed people to find faith in things again, not faith in a politician, but faith that there is something bigger out there. And we believe it makes you happier. And last but not least, is turn the damn mainstream media off. Just turn that shit off. Get outside. Go for a run. Go downstairs if you have a gym, build one in your garage and work out, read a book, play with your kids. If you want to get on a computer and read, read and read stuff. Look at numbers. If you still need to see what's going on out there all the time, look at numbers. And another thing that's awesome, listen to podcasts, listen to radio. This to me is where the evolution of media is going, because you're not getting the 5-minute soundbite. You're getting a person coming on for an hour and they're telling their opinions. They're telling what they think. You're getting the every man, what every person on the ground is thinking. And that is important, instead of getting a manipulative soundbite that's kind of construed with questioning, going this way, so we're leading you down this path, so you have to answer this way, and you're not getting a gotcha. So to me, I think, and people out there listening to shows like yours and the other podcasts out there, and if you're a veteran, I'll tell you right now, there's so many of you guys out there that have stories. Start your own podcast.
That's right.
People need to hear about overcoming adversity. How did you overcome that firefight when your buddy got blown up and you had to continue to fight through it? People can learn about human nature through that so much. And it's therapeutic. I can talk with experience. That's extremely therapeutic for veterans to do that and talk about their incident and see that people are actually getting a positive, they're finding positivity out of it because they're learning how to overcome adversity. So when the mandatory lockdown's all done, you're off and running, man. You have improved your life. You're great. You're doing fantastic. You're stronger mentally and emotionally. And when finally this is, okay, let's get back to work, you are 5 steps ahead of everybody else because you didn't let this bring you down the doldrums. And that's how I look at it. It's just want to be and off to, on the ground running as soon as this is over. With this hysteria, this mandatory hysteria, and your life's going to be great. And for those that have lost loved ones, that's a whole other set of. I get that. I feel for you. Prayers for you. Remember them, and then again, you just I've been there. You just got to move forward and continue to take those steps every day, even if it's a baby step. And eventually, it's always going to be there. But you're going to be able to handle it, and you can still also improve your lives as well. And have those people that you're left behind, that were left behind in your family, you know, that you're improving yourself and making them proud as they're watching you from heaven. So it's just having that mindset. You can have a positive mindset. You can't control what's going on around you, but you can control your attitude. If you have a good attitude, screw what's going on around you. I'm going to succeed regardless. And that's just, you have to find your own way to do that, whatever your niche is.
Well said, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Pirano, American hero. Chris, thanks for joining the program. Looking forward to bring you back on.
Ian, anytime, brother. You know how to hit up. Just hit up my wife, too, because she's the one that, you got Ian? Ian, you're part of your show. She make sure I'm on, brother. So you go ahead anytime, brother. God bless you. It's always a pleasure, man.
Chris Pirano, what a jewel Look, this is a very humble individual. You heard what he said. He led a team of 50 Blackwater soldiers in Iran, was it? If I got that wrong, I got it wrong. But he was right there on the front line in Benghazi. Returns to the States. Look, some people supported him, some people didn't, but he called out the U.S. government. Look, John Kerouac is one of the early guests on this program. This is the fourth year. We're in our fourth year. I mean, my fourth year, Discussion of Truth. We started the show on Wynwood Radio as the Florida Sun and Spray Show. Why? Because at that time, the Zika virus had come ashore into South Florida, and the pesticide was banned in Europe, yet it was being used as a known neurotoxin. This is studies out of Oslo. It was being used in Miami-Dade, Miami Beach. I'd hear the crop duster buzz right overhead Saturday mornings. And the smell, like this burning smell, it would emit. It's a known neurotoxin. It's known to cause microcephaly in the developing fetus. That's why we just women in Brazil were bearing these children with deformed heads. That was the same excuse, okay, that those contracting the Zika virus would experience, that would be a pregnant woman. I had reached out to representatives from Lancet in the UK, medical journal, and the New England Journal of Medicine. And nobody could tell me there was a direct link to microcephaly and Zika. Yet, peer-reviewed studies showing that the pesticide, yes, was directly causing microcephaly. So that's when I began doing what I do. And I was led there to former Stanford Hoover fellow, Anthony Sutton. And of course, I've got all the links under the article section of theintroj.com. I've got those available, free PDF download. He's written some great stuff. And he left Stanford because they reprimanded him for divulging the information research that he had divulged. So he then joined a publisher, my understanding, called Trinday. That is the same publisher that I'm very fortunate to be having publish Freedom Reserve, No More Lies. And coming your way tomorrow, actually, is its release date in some areas, and then push back to July in others, if that's accurate. I'm not sure if that's accurate or not. You can check out Barnes & Noble and Amazon and Chapters in Canada and other online sellers in Australia, Denmark, UK. Freedom Reserve, No More Lies. Published by Trinday. So anyway, so that's where I started the program, folks, 4 years ago, coming up on 4 years ago. And this was the second time that Chris has joined us. There's lots to stand up for and talk about internationally, not just the United States. And you should be doing what I'm doing and what Chris does, and that you should have a voice. If you feel uncomfortable doing that, write, blog. If you don't feel comfortable doing that, simply talk to your friends and family. The objective here is that the United States, of course I focus on the United States because this is where I am, the United States remain united. There are so many divides politically, in media, economically, that it's ruining, in my opinion, the fabric of the country. It's ruining the curriculum in the schools. We have got to unite folks and not divide. And that's why I urge you, and personally, I do not take sides politically. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody's got ethics. Certainly do your best to uphold your beliefs. But you should not, in my opinion, be siding with one political party or the other. Just to side with them. If you disagree, disagree. I don't believe you should be voting on a candidate based on what political party they represent. That's ridiculous in my view, in my opinion. And I will close out this session by saying that, look, everything runs to money, okay? That's the system that we all globally feed into. There's no way around it. The U.S. dollar is in danger, in my view. I'm not an economist, but I have had economists on the program. In my view, I'll mention one name, Paul Craig Roberts, a former fellow at Oxford and Stanford, and lead counsel, if you will, under the Reagan administration for economics. That's one example of an economist that's been on this program. I do feel that the U.S. dollar is in grave danger, folks. And you couple in the cryptocurrency, where's that going? Where's it going with your 5G? Where's it going with artificial intelligence? This is a time of great developments technologically. Could they be misused? Quite possibly. And I believe that Dr. Robert Spalding, Brigadier General, U.S. Air Force, who joined us the first hour, I believe that's where he was going to in representing his expertise of understanding the Chinese government. Okay, but again, you've got to hold on to those democratic values or the constitutional values via your democracy that you have inherited. This is the greatest country, in my opinion, on the planet. Okay, I don't see a constitution written better anywhere else, and that's why I say that. That's why it's got to be upheld. In 250 years, in the scheme of humanity, is not a long time, folks. The Roman Empire, which through the Vatican, is still here. It's still on the planet. I'm not getting religiously. That's just a fact. That's been around for well over 1,000 years. And again, threading into William the Conqueror, 1066, conquering England, from Normandy, the institution, Ronan Palin, who teaches, is a professor there in London. He spoke about this, that the Corporation of London, which the Bank of England is housed in, this is all public information. It is a sovereign institution. It does not represent the Queen. It does not represent the American people, or excuse me, the British people. It is a Roman institution mechanism. Okay, that's worth looking into. And I've had people from the UK on the program. That's worth looking into if you reside in any of the holdings of the United Kingdom. That would be England, that'd be Northern Ireland, Scotland, Canada, Australia, and others, the Cayman Islands. So in the United States, in my opinion, what you need to look into are perhaps what are the strings that could be, if they are, puppeteering your economics. Because puppets where your military goes and starts a war, i.e. George Bush, okay, not putting fingers at him, I'm just giving that as an example, but if you trace the money, if you follow the money, then I think you start to look at some interesting things that perhaps reveal agendas that are already laid out on a global scale, 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 years, i.e. Rockefeller Foundation. This is all factual. It's all public information. Yes, the Rockefeller Foundation has a 100-year plan for global health. Just go to rockefellerfoundation.org. Go to iantrache.com. I've got the article. I've got the link to the article right there on my website. Okay. All this stuff that I talk about is publicly available. I haven't gone into any deep web military database. This is all public knowledge through Google. All I do is find it and I bring it to the forefront. So what I'm suggesting for any American to do is to follow the money. And then you're led to the door of something called the Federal Reserve, established in 1913 by Woodrow Wilson, which he later lamented, developed on Jekyll Island. Okay, this is fact. This is fact. Turn over your dollar bill right now, and it'll say Federal Reserve Note. So should you be questioning why that institution doesn't get audited? Should you be questioning why the U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, gives the power to Congress to coin, that means print, money? Congress isn't passing laws to print money. That doesn't go to vote in Congress. Now, they asked the Federal Reserve to do it. So why is the Federal Reserve doing it if they're saying they don't have any gold and Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard? Some of these things must start to add up for you. in order to make change. That's my opinion. Folks, this has been another Discussion of Truth. Thank you for listening. Support Chris Pronto. Listen to his podcast. He is an American hero. And it is people like that, in my opinion, not entirely people identical to him, because there are not many that like him. But it's people like you listening to this program that will make change for the better and keep this country intact and make it great and keep it great. Okay? Because it is great, right? Regardless of your political party. There we are. Discussion of Truth every Wednesday, 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard. Next week, Avi Jorish joining the program. And we'll have a representative from Reporters Without Borders. Until then, folks, if you do nothing else with your time, make your best effort to be awesome.